because there's someone standing next to you with a tear in their eye, you're a lucky man, because, buddy, at the end of this road, if there's one person in the world you can say is your friend, that is for life.
I'm going to give you the only thing I got left. I'll give you my spot.
I want the big man.
Do you accept it?
My spot.
I want Conan.
Remember me how I look right now.
I want Bagwell.
It would be an honor.
And I want Six.
Woo.
I'm taking the Four Horsemen.
Come on, Conan.
And I'm taking the NWO.
The most pathetic display of all.
And I'm putting them in.
And we are ready for war! Ladies and gentlemen, World Championship Wrestling, welcome to Two-Fall Brawl! We welcome you to the large show, Veterans Memorial Coliseum in the Triad of North Carolina. We are in Winston-Salem, where they have been lining up for the last remaining tickets all day long to see their beloved Four Horsemen battle in the most dangerous match in the history of professional wrestling. And on this one night, we are very proud to bring you War Games, part of Fall Brawl. Tony Schiavone, joined by Mean Gene.
Welcome to September 14th, 1997, and it is Fall Brawl War Games. I'm Cab Manning, along with the usual Mr. Billy Botti.
Hello, Cab.
And a blast from the past, the guy who will be taking over the Monday Night Wars soon, Mr. Nick from New York.
And as my new duties of taking over the show, I'd like to announce that we will be canceling the Monday Night Wars.
Oh, like I said,
last episode.
We actually enjoyed watching this pay-per-view with our breakfast this morning.
Yeah, it was good.
I see, like I said, I would continue watching all the WCW and pay-per-views because I didn't watch all of it. It's just a pain in the ass to do the fucking show. That's all. All right, so let's get into this Fall Brawl, into the first few matches here before we get to another clip for you. And the first match was Eddie versus Jericho, which is eventually that would be, you know, a fucking headlining match. But this one's for the Cruiserweight title.
You know, the one thing I got to say about this Jericho match and Jericho's old matches in WCW is it's really impressive that they were able to go back in time and edit the time-space continuum and add Jericho's WWE music.
It is nonsense.
To the WCW.
I don't know what they're fucking doing.
I really think that's great.
Well, that's how they went back and gave Eddie Guerrero and Michael Hayes's.
Yeah, that's good too.
Well, they should have warned Eddie to stop the fucking roids because you're going to have a heart attack in a few years.
Something's changed with Eddie. I can't put my finger on it, but there's something in his face that's changed.
A rigor mortis or decay? Oh, you mean late then, not now. Okay.
Yeah, no, then. That
was the commentator's reasoning for his change in behavior. We picked up in the commentary.
I figured out their three-man booth. It's Mike Taney is doing analysis, Tony Schiavone's doing play-by-play, and Bobby the Brain Heenan's doing I Don't Give a Fuck.
Well, speaking of, here's the first clip of Bobby the Brain Heenan not knowing what wrestling moves are.
Each other very, very well. Now, reversal to the ropes on the right side. Eddie saw it coming. Lamahi Shrock cradle got him up, but no, Jericho the other way.
Whoa, nice counter.
Up. One, two.
No.
He got a two count and an arm drag, taking back down again. Simple strategy by Jericho, and it's worked so far in the opening moments of this Cruiserweight title bout.
You know, that shows you how really good they are. Both these men are known for what? Their high aerial moves. I mean, they come off those top ropes to the floor. They'll cross body you. They'll Hootacanrani all day long, but they know how to wrestle. He's kept them on the mat. He's kept him where he has to keep him. He Huna karate'd him.
Yeah, I guess that's what he's done to him.
Close enough.
So close enough. Fuck it. He's got his money. What the hell does he care about calling a match?
God bless him.
Eddie Guerrero wins the Cruiserweight title, in which we found out later on that, like, in real life, Jericho was like, thank God, I don't want this fucking Cruiserweight title. Nobody wanted the fucking thing because it, like, kind of stigmatized them, where they were stuck with it.
Yeah, we both liked this match. We were like, we were kind of sitting there, and we were thinking, fucking hell, we have to watch this morning before we leave. But actually, this was good.
The Steiners.
Yeah, it's just going back to what you said about Jericho kind of feeling pigeonholed there. You know, it's like what they're doing now with the 205 Live and divisioning up the different wrestlers. It's good on paper, but Jericho's right. You get stuck in these designated spots, but I don't know if it's necessarily a bad thing. I'm kind of torn on the subject, but I guess we don't have to harp on it.
Well, like Bischoff said, Eddie would have never like got to a main event. He says he's like, I'm not gonna bullshit you. It would have never happened. So they did get stuck. Steiners versus Harlem Heat. Steiners win this match. Any opinion? You guys have watched it freshly. I think you'd know more so.
Yeah. The first thing that came to mind while I was watching this match was, holy shit, Stevie Ray is a big dude. And Steiners are nuts, and they really lay it in.
Yeah, they... I can't wait for what's to come with Steiner. Being fucking insane. Being a real-life fucking character. So Steiners win this. Ultimate Dragon... Or Ultimo Dragon, as they first ever call him.
Ultimo
that
Dragon,
first time they fucking call him that. Versus Billy's favorite, and mine, I must say, Mr. Alex Wright, Das Wunderkunt, for the television title.
We noticed that they book Europeans as homosexuals. That's the first thing we noticed.
This is Cesaro thing.
Yeah, and he's got a lot of Cesaros. He does the neutralizer at one point during the match, and he does the Cesaro arm raise.
The hand raise thing, the halfway up, right?
Yeah. I feel like Cesaro watched Alex Wright, and it was his hero growing up or something. Like,
I wouldn't doubt it.
The German influencer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I could see that for sure. Alex Wright wins this.
I mean, he hits a neutralizer. He hits a neutralizer in the match. He doesn't put the hands through the legs, but, you know... He hits the face flapjack, whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be sad once he shaves his head and he becomes Berlin. that's gonna be very interesting to see. Here's your next clip. This is.
Did Alex Wright start the match off with an erection and then it slowly got smaller during the match?
You know, I'm proud to say I wouldn't have a fucking clue. I would have put that in my notes, believe me. But, I wasn't staring at his Das Wunderkunt. So, next one we have for you is a clip with Mean Gene doing his hotline deal. And the NWO show up and walk through, and they attack somebody in the back. Have a listen.
TW's Fall Brawl to Gene Okerlund.
All right, Tony, I know you were going to get that out sooner or later. We're back in the locker room area. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, on the hotline, very important, a man that is absolutely seething. He's at the recent parody that, of course, was conducted by the NWO. Tonight, in exclusive, it's going to be Arn Anderson on the hotline. Gentlemen. I've got to be the rudest group of people that I have ever been around in my entire life. What the devil is going on back there? Anyway, tonight on the hotline, ladies and gentlemen, Arn Anderson with a very candid and in-depth conversation. Well, that's going to cut into my payroll. What just transpired in here? If our cameraman can come along. Excuse me. Arn Henry! Wait a minute! What the devil? Nash! Six, Conan, all of them here tonight. Those are the people. Kurt Hennig is down on the floor. Get some help for this man, please.
Can you believe this filthy NWO jumping Kurt Hennig in the back, and now they have an advantage, a 3-4 man? This is horrible.
They jumped in pretty quick, didn't they?
They were giggling like a bunch of little schoolgirls.
Yeah. I like Mean Gene doesn't know what's going on, and he opens the door and always gets that voice. Kurt Hennig! What's going on?
Oh my god, Kurt Hennig! We need help back here! Someone send help!
Yeah, that's I love when Gene gets all fucking based out.
Here's a question. Do you think that there was anyone in the building who wasn't watching a monitor that was within earshot of Mean Gene for him to know that he needed help? Or do you think that, like, just in case, completely in kayfabe, do you think it was anybody was didn't know what was going on?
Yeah, they're all doing their own jobs in the back, so they're not even paying attention to Mean Gene's segment.
Listen, nobody there can do their job, though. Earlier on, like, we were watching the whole...
Oh, yeah.
Nick noticed that the pyro that they probably spent like $5,000-$10,000 on went off while they were on shooting a fan. Like, they were shooting Hall of Me, and they shot the fan.
And the pyro goes off.
And then the pyro goes off, and you see the pyro reflect on the fan's face because it's like red. And then they go back to Hall of Me, and the camera guy's like, oh, yeah, fuck, we missed the pyro.
Jesus.
It was just WCW in encapsulated in that second.
You know what's funny is we make fun of that, but it's almost like WWE does a lot of that kind of shit now. We spot a lot of them fuck ups now, where it's like, ooh.
Well, that's because Kevin Dunn doesn't care anymore. He's drinking beer in his fucking.
Yeah. So just as a side note, we were at Raw last night, and we're walking into MSG, and we see Kevin Dunn standing out behind the arena, like talking to
John Laurinaitis.
But John Laurinaitis is talking to a couple of I don't know who they were, a couple of guys, and the guy says something to Dunn. We can't really hear him, and Dunn goes, I got you. Don't worry about it. And he brings him over to the production truck, and he opens a cooler and hands him both the fucking Bud Light out of, like, from behind his production truck. And then,
He produces a show with a crate of Bud Light in his cabin. What's that called?
His production. His trailer.
Yeah, his trailer, yeah.
But one thing that we said was, Billy looks at me and he goes, this guy's a multimillionaire. Why does he do this job? The product sucks. And how can he deal with McMahon? I said, this guy, he doesn't deal with McMahon. He sits in the production truck and, does camera cuts. And the one thing you can't not WWE for most of the time is their production quality.
Yeah, that's about the only thing they have that's fucking perfect all the time, that music. And so it's like, it's free money. I mean, fuck it. That's a cush job. You've been doing it. It's easy to do. Fuck it. Do it till they drop you out of the fucking place.
I think he wants an Emmy for, like, live wrestling. I think that's his goal. But.
Well, nowadays, I wouldn't doubt it because you see that stupid E! Awards or, like, TV show of the year. I'm like, how much did WWE have to pay them to get on that fucking list? Because give me a break. Like, Raw would be the best show of the year.
They're trying to get us in the arena to vote for it. They're like, go to E.com right now. Vote for your favorite show of the year.
All right, well, after...
They're trying to get us to play.
Go ahead.
Who's trying to get us to buy fucking house show tickets afterwards? I mean, who's going to do that after that SmackDown?
Raise your hand, Billy. The next match is Jeff Jarrett versus Dean Malenko. They had a little rivalry going on, and it's clean. Double J wins this.
Yeah.
Fucking clean, I give up. What the fuck?
To be honest, Billy and I kind of went into a coma during this match. We weren't really paying that much attention.
I'm with you.
He said if you phone the hotline back in the day, like Double J was taking questions on the internet at the time. So if you were online at the time, he would have told you he was going to win like this.
Some like half Asian guy was writing down asked him questions. Yeah. Like, why don't you pay attention, boy? I'm giving you the answer.
Huh. Next thing that's going to happen here is we're going to get the NWO doing a promo. In the back.
This is pretty terrible, to be honest.
And this is the, Kurt got hurt? Oh, so sorry. Here you go.
Well, I can't believe I'm flabbergasted. You're going for soda and Kurt Hibbins.
Kev. It's not his fault, Kev.
Kurt, for that, guess what? The Four Horsemen are finished, pal. The Four, right? Hey.
Orale, Kurt Hennig. Somos locos. Somos pocos, pero locos. You can't kick no dust. Tonight, we're going to take care of you and the Four Horsemen.
That's what I'm saying.
You're right.
You know it. The thing is this, boys. If you think the NWO is going into War Games tonight without a plan,
you're wrong. We've got one, and it's a doozy.
When you put the NWO together, it's always a plan, and the plan is we're going to go out and end the Four Horsemen's careers tonight. It's
so what
over.
You're saying is that you guys basically want to go out tonight and eliminate and retire the Four Horsemen? Is that what you guys
are
saying?
Exactly it. You know what,
Rick? We want to put the Four Horsemen out of commission.
I hope everybody bought the
six
potions.
Mongo, you got the K-Dog, Chris Benoit, Buff Bagwell, and you know what? Kurt Hennig, tonight we're gonna take care of you. Arriba la raza!
Did we mention the Four Horsemen have finished up tonight?
You know, I think the Four Horsemen finished tonight. So in other words, guys, you're with me in saying that you want to finish the Four Horsemen.
Kev?
It would be an honor!
So, you know what? The only good thing about this whole NWO thing, I think, with this little group is that it wasn't the main guys. Like, you got Conan involved and Bagwell and, you know, and Six. So it's not...
Six-pack.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like they're giving the other guys a rub who need it. Which is odd that you don't see, like, Hall as part of this since they're... Yeah.
Well, Hall was in the match, which was also pretty odd that they split up the tag teams.
We said this exactly this thing before. Like, how have they done this split? Because before that, Bagwell and Conan didn't even have the proper NWO music. So now they mix the Job Squad and the WCW together. The Job Squad and the other music together for this.
And I didn't think the promo was that great, to be honest. I couldn't really tell what they were saying. They were all talking over each other. I've seen better out of the NWO. I've seen worse out of the NWO, but this wasn't that great.
We get the Faces of Fear versus Mortis and Wrath, which is... It's interesting because they were pushing Faces of Fear, where it was like, oh, look, they need a legit tag team. But there's a Tongan Death Grip forever, and Vandenberg and Mortis... On Vandenberg and Mortis at the same time, Wrath then puts the other one in some shit. And it's like there's a lot of fucking nonsense going on here because they're bringing in
it's
the
a
fucking...
It's a lot of filler. It's a lot of... It's just shit to fill time, you know?
And Wrath and Mortis win this because we need another contender for the tag belts. It's next man up. Next, you get the Horseman interview with Gene and no Kurt Hennig with the Horseman.
A very somber mood, if you will. Four Horsemen are supposed to be here. Of course, joining us, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, Steve Mongo McMichael, and of course, the Crippler, Chris Benoit. No Kurt Hennig. I don't know the status, gentlemen, of his situation right now. I don't know if he's going to be able to continue on, but right now it does not look good, Chris.
Gene, it is truly going to be an honor to give the NWO a taste of reality. Conan, we all know you're the biggest wannabe happening. Six, you're but a number. Bagwell, well, we all know what the buff is about. And Nash, well, you've been so many different characters, we're not quite sure what you're about. But after tonight, you're gonna know what the Horsemen are about.
Steve McMichael, I've gotta ask you, is it gonna be the Four Horsemen tonight or not?
Listen, boys, you're in a cage now. You can run, but you can't hide. You run around playing those little games all you want, brother. But listen up, you idiots. Do you understand what Armageddon is? The Four Horsemen are bringing down the apocalypse on you tonight.
All right, Ric Flair, you've been here before. Many say the darkest time is just before dawn. That may be the case tonight here for War Games.
Gene Oakland, if I ever thought about quitting when my back was against the wall, I would not be here tonight. Hennig is down. That's the price you pay for being a horseman. But somehow, I know if they can put Hennig together, he'll walk that aisle. Woo, and he'll stand tall. In the meantime, Nash, and I'm talking to you, big man, right next to me, 5 times all pro, and in his leisure time, wears a Super Bowl ring. Also next to me, they call him the Crippler, pound for pound, the best wrestler alive today. And as you so fondly want to talk about, in this tired old body is more heart, more desire, more soul, and more reality than the NWO will ever know. Woo! And in Winston-Salem, whether it's 3, 4, 2, 1, We will bleed, we will sweat, and you will pay the price for life. Woo!
All right, I think pretty much setting the table for tonight's big main event, Fall Brawl of the War Games. Will it be the Four Horsemen? We don't know. A lot of heart, Tony. Gentlemen, let's get back to you.
So they're getting ready for their match, and then we get Norton versus the Giant. Giant trying to show off, doing nip-ups and shit, holding the ropes, trying to help himself, but nonetheless, he's still a fucking 400-some-pounder doing this shit. This is, when people say, oh, you know, Andre was the fucking best big man, all that bullshit, I'm like, nah, it has to be the fucking Giant and Big Show that was the best big man ever.
Well, I've seen some Andre stuff. I saw a match with him versus Inoki where he was doing
skinny
arm drags and fucking he's doing some impressive shit. You know, Big Show always talked about how he was super athletic and could do anything up until he got that surgery on his pituitary gland. So this is pre-surgery, I believe.
You know, he tried out for the Detroit Lions back in the day. I remember that. And I was how in the fuck did he not make that? I mean, just sheer strength or going in on kick blocking kicks?
You know, they always talk about how big he is and all this shit and how impressive he is. But I was at the WrestleMania in Texas, Dallas. And Shaquille O'Neal has like 5 inches.
He does. So. He is bigger than him. Yeah, that is fucking interesting. Giant wins this. After this, we get Lex and DDP versus Macho Man and Scott Hall.
Lex Luger, the man with the most recognizable upper body in professional wrestling.
Did they say that?
Yeah, they said that. Yep.
Oh, fuck, I didn't write that down. Hall beats up the ref, so Larry goes to the ring. This is very fucking odd because it took too long. It would have been good if it was quicker because the crowd went fucking crazy when Larry showed up, and Luger is stuck between the two rings.
Oh, wait, shit. So Billy took a shower during this match.
Okay, so me and you, Nick, will go
over. And he comes back and he goes back right for the finish. He goes, wait, what's going on? Why is Zbyszko on the apron?
I saw Zbyszko get up because he was in the... something else had happened. There's no refs. But at the time, when I come out of the shower, they were just all beating up... they were just beating them up with weapons or belts or something. Is that right? Luger was stuck in the middle of the ring.
Refs were unconscious. But why is Zbyszko? The only conclusion I came to why Zbyszko had the authority to do that was because his shirt was striped.
Jesus Christ!
No, he didn't.
It wasn't a ref shirt. It was just had stripes on it.
Well, let's work our way to it because he gets in there. All the refs are knocked out, and Luger's like slowly getting up from the middle of the ring where his Hall's back is turned to Luger and.
Right.
Hall is challenging Zbyszko to come in, which it took forever. If it was quick, I don't think this would have been a problem. He's challenging him forever. And finally, Zbyszko comes in. And it's funny because Hall does a good job up until he gets pushed. And then it's, you know, that whole wrestler, throw your hands up in the air. I can't catch my balance. Falls back. And then Larry Zbyszko makes the three count. And they fucking win the match. I'm like, how is this even count? Makes no sense.
I didn't understand that at all. I said, well, I asked Billy, I go, is Zbyszko or is he an official on the committee? Why does he have the authority? Billy's like, I don't know. It's Zbyszko did a fast count, and he's for some reason he's got authority. I have no idea. So didn't make sense to me.
So after this, they do a Halloween Havoc promo that's coming up next, and then it is the main event.
Wait, one thing I noticed about the Halloween Havoc promo, they do the Halloween Havoc promo with the guy who just lost the screw job finish to Larry Zbyszko and Clan as the main attraction for the Halloween. Don't you think they could have picked somebody else or maybe put it at the match?
Well, it's Slim Jim, isn't it?
Yeah.
Slim Jim's, and NWO doesn't actually work for WCW, so why are they using them?
That's true.
It just didn't make any fucking sense to me.
Elizabeth. Is Elizabeth at her peak in this in
this era.
She has to be. I think she had implants at the time, too. Think she got
new
tits, everything. Yeah, she does look in good shape. I mean, her face never changed, but I think her body got... I mean, she's just being able to wear stuff that shows off, too. Before it was fucking prom dresses.
Evening gowns.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh, she distracted the $1 million team by wearing a fucking bikini bottom. What the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, old granny panties and fucking nylons. Oh, fuck, I can't concentrate. Shit.
That was weird, because, like, Ted DiBiase, like, couldn't control himself.
No.
But with all that money, like, he imagine how many holes he actually had.
I know, and he was like, banging broads on the road, too. But he couldn't handle seeing Elizabeth in fucking swimsuit with a full top on.
Well, Elizabeth was such a beautiful woman. I mean, who could control themselves?
I know. Well, we're all animals here. So, this main event happens... And it's the whole War Games deal where it's, of course, the coin flip happens after the two guys get in the ring and the bad guys win. And so then it's another 2 minutes.
Can I ask you a question? Mm-hmm. Can I ask you a question? Does this match make any fucking sense?
No, because it can't finish until everyone's in. Yeah, I know what you mean.
And what is the difference between a submission and a surrender?
I don't think there is. I think it's all the same. Well, yeah, I mean, you would think submit means you have to be in a fucking hold. And surrender, you could just be walking around and go, that's it. I'm out. I'm done.
Right.
You know, I guess that's the best we could fucking call. But
We'll get to the surrender question in a second. Billy brought up a good point, but we'll get into why that point's a good question in a second.
So we have... Kurt Hennig finally shows up at the end after it's everyone in the ring. So the last one, and everyone gets fired up because he's in a sling, and he's like, fuck it, I'm getting in anyway last. And they're all in.
He's here to save WCW. He's here to save WCW.
And he gets in the fucking ring with handcuffs, and they're like, oh, yeah. And then this is what happens.
What? Oh, no.
He's not hurt at all. He's not hurt at all.
And he's gone right for Rick Flair.
My God, what's he doing?
You know what he's doing, Tony.
It's another.
You know exactly what he's doing.
No. We all fell for it. Every one of us.
There's nothing wrong with his arm or shoulder. And they're handcuffing the horseman to the cage.
We have been in the midst of the biggest charade, the biggest game of them all. Benoit and Conan has the cuffs on Benoit.
And they're handcuffing him to the top of the cage. And Hennig has just gone after Flair.
Mongo is handcuffed to the top of the cage.
Where's Benoit?
Benoit has been handcuffed to the top of the cage.
And they're going to systematically take Flair apart.
Oh, my.
In his backyard. This is
and there's nothing we can do.
This is deliberate. This is deliberate. This is premeditated.
The cage is locked. And not only that. I mean, you know how the cage comes up and we got.
Oh, I mean, we pull them right over.
It would pull
their arms right out of their
pull
body.
Pull their arms right out. Ah. Oh my God. Oh. Oh man, I can't. It's my job to watch this, but I can't. My job to bring you what's happening, but this is making me sick down to my stomach. He stood in the ring. He shook the hand of Arn Anderson.
Look at this.
All right, boys. Let's hear it. You surrender?
Yeah. Benoit's not surrendering. But he is helpless.
How about you, football boy? You surrender?
No. Mongo's not surrendering. But what can they do? What in God's name can they do?
Woo! How about you, Nature Boy? How about you, Nature Boy?
It's 4-1.
Flair is helping. This is...
To a man who 13 times held the championship of the world.
I know you want to say it. Say it, chump.
He's not in awe.
Yeah, but he's got one hand. They got eight.
You've
got
to give Benoit has so much courage, so much fight, so much. Oh.
He's going to chew his way out of it.
Oh.
Say it!
It's apparent. It is apparent the NWO.
Say it, baby.
No!
The Horsemen still say no, darn it. And I'm going to be honest with you.
You got one more chance, big man. Say it!
I know they're men, but I don't almost want to say yes.
Say it!
Get this over with.
Bite me!
Yeah!
I'd say it, and then have another day.
Say it, Flair! Say it! Say it, quit! Say it!
Flair is injured. I gotta take him out, throw him in the front row. What else can?
They'll probably drag him out back.
This is a horrible scene. This is a horrible scene. Man, I'm sorry.
All right, boys. Either you surrender, or old Nature Boy here gets a guillotine.
You gotta stop this. You can't do that.
Hey, guys.
Yep.
They said stop it.
Mongo said stop it.
He said stop it.
All right. He said stop it. Yeah.
All right. The main thing to do.
That's right. That's right. Before Flair gets nailed, before he gets his hands shut here, before. No, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. That was no good. Low life. They slammed his head in.
How you feel now, stupid?
Maybe. I don't want to say that a career has come to an
end. Death of the Horsemen right in their own backyard!
That's what's happened.
Sweet. We've already told you.
Who's the wannabe?
NWO. Who's the idiot?
NWO. The Horsemen have fallen prey. WCW has fallen prey to the biggest game. The biggest one ever. The most sickening night that I have ever spent as a broadcaster. I have spent here tonight. We've got to get out.
So that is the end of how everything goes down. They finally surrender because they handcuff all the good guys to the ropes, or to their cage, actually, over their head. Benoit, I think, did the best job, actually, of fighting his way and trying to rip the fucking chain off. And I'm always like, what happens if it did break? That'd be great. But they kept asking him, and I would think...
Well, then he would choke them all out after giving them Xanax pills.
There you go. That'll do it, too. That'll easily... But then they can't surrender. So... I think this is almost the one time they should have given permission to curse, where they keep asking them, do you give up, give up? It should be fuck you, eventually. You know, that should be the scream.
Well, here's the point I was alluding to earlier that Billy brought up during the match. Why did Kurt just get in the ring and surrender?
You know what? Did you think of that? That is perfect. He could have fucking ended up being the one who says, I quit. After they're trying to get them all to quit, he could just say, I quit, yeah.
And then just celebrate with the NWO.
It's 100% fucking correct. That is fucking the best. I love that. I remember when this happened, and it was burned in my memory because it was so fucking brutal. When they slammed the cage on his head, and I'm trying to find where it stops, where's the secret? And I don't think there is. I think he just takes it.
Yeah, I think you're right on that one.
It's fucking brutal. I'm like, he slams that fucking door good. I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ. And as I found out in later years, this was because he was going to get a facelift. And this was to get him off the TV.
Right.
So I'm dying to see when he comes back if he has that surprise Kenny Rogers look.
See, that's like his daughter.
Yeah, no shit.
And she's had facelifts now, right?
I don't know. I think she just had, shit. Botox and now the mole.
That kind of thing. She needs to get better every week.
Oh, you're out of your fucking mind. I looked at her today. I was like, excuse me, sir. Jesus Christ. So, that is your fall brawl for the week. Anything to add to this? You guys enjoyed the pay-per-view?
It was better than SmackDown was tonight.
Oh, my God.
Well, we'll all look forward to your reviews of this show. Well, that is your Back to the Monday Night War, Fall Brawl, War Games for 1997. For Billy, for Nick, and for Cav, thanks for listening to Back to the Wars, and never again. We hope you've enjoyed the wars all this time, but we're out of time!